अतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्नाय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। गुरवे गौरचन्द्राय राधिकायै तदालये कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तदभक्ताय नमो। यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरह कातरया जुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयतया तर्वोऽभिनेदु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं। सुखदेव गोस्वामी श्रीमद्भागवत स्पीकिंग द एसेंस ऑफ ऑल वैदिक लिटरेचर। सो वी शुड ट्राई टू फॉलो। If you will follow, you will be happy. Otherwise, no. Those who are following, that is, chanting the name of holy name of the Supreme Lord and meditating Him, hearing Hari Katha, His past.
Last time,
they will surely be happy. And they are unfortunate who don't have any taste to him. In Srimad Bhagavat are so many examples for this have been given from all the history of holy universe. You should know that even you can be more rich than Ramana. Ravana, you know, more rich than Hiranyakashipu. Even you cannot be happy. Never and never. Never happy. Oh, you can help that boy, Chinese boy. You don't know any other language. So always try and you should take help. We told yesterday about Jai Vijay pastime. Now, Kapil Dev Bhuti Samvad, you can speak. You should be ready. You are advocate. So I may tell you to speak something. And if not speaking, then I may punish you.
In courts, you can speak.
First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my Padmaraja to Diksha and Shiksha Gurudev, to all of our Guru Bhaga and all the assembled devotees. Srila Gurudev has ordered me to speak about the Sambhad for conversation.
But in brief.
Between Kapiladev, Lord Kapiladev, and Devahuti. Devahuti is the mother of Kapiladev. Her husband is Kardama Muni, and Kardama Muni was given the blessings by Lord Vishnu that he would not only get a wife of equal disposition to himself, but he would get the son, his son, to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After some years of being together and begetting Lord Kapiladev, Kardama Muni went to take sannyas, the renounced order of life, and his wife was now under the care of her son. So she understood who he was, and she began to inquire of him how to become free from the material entanglement, to become free from attachment. And Lord Kapiladev gave her so many teachings. One teaching, he explained to her how this material world was created, how it was created by the glance of Lord Vishnu. And by his glance, from subtle elements to gross elements, this world was manifest. He said that the material world began by the element of false ego, and all other elements come from that false ego. That means, just like if a cotton shirt comes from cotton, it's made of the same thing. So from false ego comes intelligence or contaminated consciousness, then mind, then air, ether, air, fire, water, and then earth. Because they all come from the most subtle material element of false ego, they're all made of false ego. Therefore, Lord Kapiladev explained that they're all shadow elements. They have no ultimate reality, and ultimately they're only atoms. He explained that out of the 24 material elements, then there are two other elements, which is the soul and the supersoul. And only these two, soul and supersoul, have an actual reality. And the ultimate reality is their relationship of the spirit soul being the supreme, being the servant of the supreme supersoul, ultimately Krishna. Kapiladev also explained, because he wanted his mother to become detached from matter. She, of course, can't have any attachment. The mother of God is always transcendental. But to teach us, just as Arjuna and Krishna made like a drama, a play, of Arjuna being an illusion, so Devahuti and Kapiladev were in a drama for our benefit. Kapiladev explained to her the stages that a person goes through in this world, from the womb of the mother, where he's suffering so much, being bent back like a bow, and praying to the Lord, realizing that I'm suffering in this world due to having forgotten you. I promise that when I come out of this womb, I'll become your devotee. But then coming out upside down, half dead, full of blood, coming out from the womb head first, the pain is so great that he forgets. And then, surrounded by his relatives, he thinks, oh, this is the life. And then Kapiladev is explaining how he, the baby in the crib now, he's so hungry and suffering, wanting his mother's breast milk, but the nurse comes and feeds him some bitter-tasting medicine, thinking that he has some ailment. So in this way, Kapiladev is showing how the child is growing, how then he gets married and he becomes attached to the pitter-patter of his child's feet and his mumblings and the sweet words of his wife, how he gradually grows old, and then, surrounded again by his relatives, he leaves this body when his eyes pop out of his sockets due to what? Due to the horror of seeing the Yamadutas, and then how he goes to the hellish planets, how he doesn't die really because the soul has no death, but how he's given another subtle body around the mind that's destined to suffer in various hellish planets, how he's thrown off a cliff, breaks into millions of pieces. The Yamadut has put those pieces together again and again throw him off the cliff. Then when he's practiced the different kinds of sufferings, like suffering of eating other people's stool, although it's miserable at the beginning, then when he's practiced, Krishna gives him the body of a hog, and then he thinks it's so enjoyable. So Lord Kapiladeva is explaining to his mother the miseries of this material world and how only in illusion do we think it's nice. And he explains that the topmost essential dharma or religion or essence of the jiva is to be engaged in bhakti yoga. And he explains the beautiful form of the super soul within our heart from his lotus feet, on which the bottom of those feet have many, many symbols. And one symbol is a thunderbolt. And with that thunderbolt, he smashes to pieces the mountain of dirty things that have been in our minds from time immemorial. So he's recommending to his mother to meditate on all the features of the Lord, to engage in his service, to meditate on his pastimes. And he also explains what is a sadhu, what is a saintly person. Because only by the mercy of a saintly person can one get the service of the Lord. How he's merciful, he's tolerant. So many wonderful features that our Guru Maharaj has. So now he'll speak further with full realization other than like myself.
Thank you.
Kapiladeva told his mother, I'm taking the essence of his all dialogue. Satang prasangam mavavidya sambhidau mavante ritukarana rasayana katha tajyo sanat asu apabhag vartmani saddharati bhakti. Shrudev Goswami is telling to Parikshit Maharaj, who is ready to die, a snake will come and bite him. But now he has faith, a strong faith, I cannot die. Because so many saints are here. So he told the history of Mother Devahuti and Kapil. Kapil is one of the manifestations of Krishna. So he came for the benefit of all. So he's telling you, Satang Prasangam Bhava. Oh, Krishna is so powerful. And sometimes his devotees, his associates, more powerful. How? Oh, by the power of Krishna. Krishna comes in their hearts and inspires them. And so they explain high class of powerful, sweet pastimes of Krishna. Very powerful. If anyone will hear what is coming, like a stream from their mouth, oh, they will be liberated very soon and they will have the service of Radha Krishna conjugal and they will be happy for eternal. So, if satang prasangamama vidya sampitau bhavanti rita karna rasayana, go there, where sadhus are telling some pastimes of Krishna very powerful. Oh, you should do sashtang pranam. You should do pranam too. Oh, who is speaking Harikatha? Glorify. And to audience, those who are hearing with him, so much honor and a strong belief. And to place, and the person who is managing, who has called sadhus, and he is managing everything.
Wow.
Not only by body, but by also words and all senses. And if you are doing so, then these Harikathas, power will come in you. And gradually, very soon, you will have faith first. And then Sadhan Bhakti. And after Sadhan Bhakti, you will come in the stage of Bhav Bhakti. And then you will come in love and affection of Krishna. Surely it will be. Tasmin Mahan Mukharita Madhubish Charita. Same thing has been told in this ashram. Repeatedly so many times. So you must have a strong belief and go on doing. If you are continuously without fail doing, then prem to Krishna, love and affection will very soon come. Will come. And your worldly attachment will go. So you must follow. And then he, etava neva lokeshmin unsa nishesaya nisheshoyudaya tibrin bhakti yogin mai arpitam sthira. Oh, who are in this world? Facing so much difficulties of life, suffering. They are suffering. So many problems facing. Or if anyone is falling, these kinds of bhakti. Vairagya, gyan vairagya, yuktena bhakti, yogena yoginaha. If anyone will fall. Like other yogi, bhakti yogi, very soon they will have a disattachment from worldly things and then tattva jnana will come. Oh, that this world is illusory. Nothing is there. So, we should try to do it with the brain bhakti yogena. The brain means?
Very strong and fast.
We should try to. Don't think that now I am very young, of 10 years age, or 5 years age, or 25 years age. We should enjoy worldly life with husband, with wife and very beautiful children, then you will be cheated by mine. So, from beginning of life, you should try to do. From today. If you are taking meats, eggs, drinking, today you should give up. Very bad things. You will have to take the revenge of all these things.
Reaction.
Or the fishes to whom you are taking and the meat of the so many animals, they will be human bodies and they will take your flesh. Anyone cannot. Koi bach nahi sakta.
Non-conceivable.
So you should know. Oh, anyone, worldly persons. They cannot tell you all these things. A person like me can tell you. And we are a mess, so much bandhu to you.
Friend to you.
Yeah.
So
we are telling. Then, there was a boy, 5 years old. And he wanted to see in the life of his father. But king has two wives, one Suruchi and one
Suniti.
Ruchi, worldly ladies. He wants to taste all these worldly things, sense gratification. And first was Suniti. Oh, he was so high class of devotee. But he became married, new one, very beautiful. And now he was in control of that lady, second wife. So, Dhruva was the son of the first lady. And he wanted to sit in the lap of our father. And he at once came very furious and told, "What? You cannot see. Why? You should stand up and tell." Whole history but in dream. And with its teaching.
Sadakaya Chakshuranmilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave
Namaha. No time to do pranam.
So now we are hearing, very good fortune, we are hearing the history and character and teachings of Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj's father, his name is Uttanapad. Uttanapad has now married two wives. One is Suruchi, the other one is Suniti. So the son of Suruchi, his name is Dhruva, and the son of Suniti, his name is Uttam. So in these names are also many, many teachings.
Suruchi, Uttam.
Don't miss.
Uttanapad. What is the meaning of Uttanapad? Uttana means up, and pada means feet. Because in this world, when every jiva is taken birth, he takes birth head down and feet up. So Uttanapad also represents us, the jivas. So in this world, the jivas have a choice to go towards Suniti. Suniti means the rules and regulations of scripture, human life, regulated life, following the rules and regulations laid down by the rishis and the scriptures. By leading this regulated life, we will develop up into one path. But jivas in this material world generally not attracted towards following rules and regulations. The jivas in this world are attracted towards Suruchi, material sense enjoyment. So on one hand, the son of Suruchi, his name is Uttam. Uttam means great or powerful. Why? Because in this material world, it appears that the materialistic persons are very happy and enjoying. So in this world, they appear Uttam. And the son of Suniti, his name is Dhruva. Because those people who follow rules and regulations of the scriptures, they become very, very powerful and very, very determined. So therefore, his name was Dhruva. So Dhruva, he wanted to sit on the lap of his father. That time, Suniti, the stepmother, she was watching. "Oh, not possible, you sit on the lap of your father." He went to sit on the lap of the father. Suniti said, "Get off the lap of your..."
Suruchi said,
"Get off the lap of your father. You have no right to be king. Unless you get the mercy of Narayan, it is not possible for you to become king."
Don't tell king, you are no king. Oh, you are not
qualified
to sit in the laps of your father. Well, no. Where it has been? Have you read?
King.
You should read thoroughly. And then speak of it.
First you should die and take birth in my womb, then it's possible you can sit on the lap of your father, otherwise it's not possible. So Dhruva, the words of his stepmother pierced Dhruva like an arrow. And Dhruva crying, he went to his mother, Suniti. Mother asked, "Oh my dear Dhruva, my boy, why are you crying so much?" "Oh mother, a very dreadful thing happened."
Oh, Dhruva not told. Other boys told to her mother. He asked from others, He was so thing that he could not answer. Or try to read once. Don't go out like hearing from Prem Bhagavatam. Prem Bhagavatam.
So Dhruva, first he could not speak, but the other boys spoke on his behalf. Oh, his stepmother, Suruchi, said that he could not sit on the lap of his father. He has to get the mercy of Narayan. So Dhruva was crying. Oh, mother, is it true what she said? So Suniti said, yes, my son, it is true. Without the mercy of Narayan, no one can fulfill any desires. So Dhruva immediately asked, Narayan can fulfill my desires? I want to become king. Where can I find Narayan? How can I find him? Where does he live? So Mother Suruchi said, oh, my son, Narayan, he lives in the forest, because all the yogis go to the forest to find Narayan in their meditation. So that night, without telling anyone, Dhruva ran away from home. And moving forest to forest, forest to forest. He was only how old? That time Dhruva is 5-year-old boy. And he was crying, where is Kamalochan Srihari? Where is that lotus-eyed Narayan? I want to find him. I want him to fulfill my desires. So Dhruva, with tears in his eyes, was moving, looking for the Lord, forest to forest. That time the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, Sarvasachaham Ridhisannivishto, he is situated in the heart of Dhruva, the heart of you and the me, in the heart of every living entity. And Srinarayan is also situated in the spiritual world. So Narayan knows what we want. We can cheat everyone, but we cannot cheat him because he is the internal witness in the heart of everyone. So Narayan could understand. Now Dhruva is crying for me. Without a spiritual master, he cannot meet me. So Narayan called his eternal near and dear associate, Srinarad Muni. O Narad Muni, now Dhruva is crying for me. But without a guru, he cannot meet me. So go down to the earthly planet and give him initiation. So Dhruva was crying, moving forest to forest. That time Narad Muni met. And a very wonderful conversation took place between Narad Muni. In this conversation, so many lessons are there for us. So Narad Muni, he asked Dhruva, oh Dhruva, you are a small boy. You should not take the words of your mother very seriously. You cannot, what do you want? Why are you moving in the forest? So Dhruva said, I want one thing. I want to find Narayan. Where is Narayan? So Narad Muni, he said, Dhruva, you are a small boy. You are 5 years old. It's not possible that you can find Narayan. I think that you should go home. You should go back to your mother. Then when you're older, 20 years old, 25, then you come back to the forest, then you can find Narayan. So that time, what is this? This is Guru is giving examination to the disciple. The Guru will give severe test to the disciple. Is he fit candidate for initiation or not? Does he have fixed heart for the service of Radha Krishna or not? Then the disciple passes the test, the Guru will give mercy to him. So very hard to pass that test of Hari Guru and Vaishnava. Oh Dhruva, you're not fit for bhajan, you go home. When you're older, then you come back. That time, Dhruva Maharaj asked him, oh yes, and what is your name? My name is Narad Muni. So Dhruva became shocked. I think that you are not Narad Muni. Narad Muni became surprised. How you can say I'm not Narad Muni? Because Narad Muni tells
me. Where are you speaking all these things? Don't speak all these things.
Also, Srila Gauranga said.
Hey,
yes.
Say.
No. You should read and then what is authentic you should read. Don't speak here and there.
I heard, but you didn't hear.
Oh, you should read yourself also. Agadam bagadam, don't tell.
Who are you? I want Narayan. Can you give me Narayan?
Never. No. It was dialect between Narada and Dhruva.
I heard this. What can I say?
But why not reading? You have eyes.
Also hearing from Vaishnava, then real. Uh-huh.
But you should hear, but you should, especially you should read yourself.
Heavy test was given. I want Narayan. Can you give me Narayan?
No.
Lord,
don't. Okay. Don't tell.
So that then,
they told you are a baby of 5 years. You have come to worship here in dense forest. It may be some tigers, bears,
snake,
and all and other animals can eat you. Better, you should go. I will tell your father. He don't know. I promise that I must do aradhana of and then and Narad knew this is
strong desire.
Do or die. Then he gave some mantra to him.
He gave him initiation into 12 silver mantra.
Mm. Without initiation anyone cannot have the darshan of Narayan. So he gave mantra.
He gave that mantra to Dhruva. So very important that one has to take mantra from the bona fide guru. Yo mantra sa guru swayam, ya guru sa swayam hari. But we know that mantra is no different from the guru. Is that without taking mantra from the sampradaya, sampradaya vihina mantra sa nishkalam bhave. Without taking mantra from the bona fide guru in one of the four Vaishnava sampradayas, you cannot get the result. So this teaching is given here. One must accept a mantra from a bona fide guru. That guru has realized mantra siddhi. So his chanting of the mantra is completely perfect. So that disciple takes mantra from the perfect guru without difficulty. That disciple can also attain the same result as the guru. The guru gives his moods and all types of perfection. The guru gives inherent in the moods when he gives the mantra. For example, many people, they take no mantra from any guru. Of course, we know Harinam is so powerful, but still, if one wants to come in the correct process, one will have to take initiation from a bona fide guru. We meet many people. I am chanting Hare Krishna many, many years, but still we said I have not changed. Why? One has to accept the mantra from the lips of bona fide guru. And Dhruva did. So Narad Muni became very pleased upon him, seeing his determination. Oh yes, you are a fit person, candidate, to take initiation. Dhruva took bath and took that mantra from Narad Muni. So Narad Muni blessed him. And you chant this mantra, I bless you. In 3 months, we'll have darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That time, Dhruva is in Madhuban. If you have the good luck and good fortune, you can come with us on Brajaman, come with Guru Maharaj on Brajamanda Purikram. We visit all these holy places. So that place where Dhruva performed the radhana of the Lord is called Madhuban. There, near Dhruva Tila, Dhruva, he performed very hard austerities. For the first month, Dhruva, he only ate some fruit and some grass and water. Then the second month, he left aside taking fruits. He only took some dry grass and water. The third month, he subsisted only by taking water. By the fourth month, Dhruva subsisted on air. And gradually, as those next 2 or 3 months passed, Dhruva gave up breathing. Then breathing once every 3 days. Then breathing once a month. And standing on one leg, with the other leg like this, and both hands upon the air, he chanted that mantra received by his Guru Maharaj. So also, we are chanting, but we are not getting result. Also, like Dhruva Maharaj is getting result. Why? I am also not chanting with fixed mind and heart. We have received mantra from Guru, but because we are not applying ourselves correctly to the process like Dhruva, we cannot get the result like Dhruva Maharaj. After 6 months, Dhruva completely stopped breathing and focusing on the Supreme Lord within his heart. That time, Narayan manifested in his heart. After 3 months, Narayan was in the spiritual world. And Narad Muni was asking, oh Lord, after 3 months, Dhruva is completely perfected.
3 months?
No, this is... Narad Muni was saying to Narayan, why you don't go to give him darshan? Now he is perfected. So Narayan was saying...
Don't tell all this.
So then,
what you should read, you should. Or what I am telling, you should tell.
So Dhruva, he saw in his heart the Supreme Lord. That time, Dhruva Maharaj's meditation broke and he lost the Lord from his heart. That time he opened his heart and he saw Narayan standing directly in front of him. So if we chant the mantra from Gurudev properly, you can also see Radha Krishna, Gauri Thayat, face to face. This is the proof that we're chanting the mantra purely, with pure devotion. So Dhruva, when he saw the Lord, his voice choked up. The 8 symptoms of perfection had become visible upon his body. But because he was a 5-year-old boy, he could not speak any prayers glorifying the Lord. So Narayan, he touched Dhruva on the forehead with his conch shell. And Dhruva immediately began offering many beautiful prayers. So So Dhruva was asking, oh Lord, if you want to give me a benediction, I've not that I could say.
Hearing his prayer, then Narayan became very satisfied. And then he told Param Bruhi, oh you should
ask any benediction.
Then.
So Dhruva was asking, oh Lord, the happiness in hearing Harikatha and association of your devotees is millions of times greater than the happiness of merging with the Brahma Jyoti. Oh Lord, we're not interested in the Brahma Jyoti. I'm not interested in attending the heavenly planets to enjoy there. Oh Lord, the happiness of hearing Harikatha from the lotus mouths of your pure devotion defeats all other types of nectar. So Dhruva was offering many, many prayers. Then Narayan blessed him. Oh Dhruva, you came to me to become king. So I bless you that for 36,000 years you shall rule. So Dhruva also had a desire. I want a kingdom greater than my grandfather. Who is the grandfather of Dhruva? Lord Brahmaji. So Dhruva is actually asking for the impossible. I want a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma, the Adidev, the creator of everything. So such is the power of bhajan. Agatana, Krishna has one shakti, agatana, agatana, pashyata shakti. He can make the impossible possible. So Lord Narayan blessed him. You can become king for 36,000 years. But that
not
time,
king, emperor of whole,
entire universe.
But instead of becoming happy, that time Narayan disappeared from his vision. But instead of becoming happy, Dhruva began to weep.
Why?
Oh, he said, I am so foolish because I approach the Lord with material desires. Dhruva never approached Narayan to please him out of pure devotional service. Why did Dhruva approach Narayan? Oh, he says, I want to become king. So therefore, Dhruva is called a Sakam Bhakta. He had good fortune to worship the Supreme Lord. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chato vidā bhajante mam jana sukhitano arjuna jani artha vidyasa jana cha bhavatasada. Hey Arjuna, four types of pious persons come to me. The person who is seeking wealth, the person who is desirous of knowledge, the person who is desiring to become free from all types of unhappiness, and that person who is trying to attain the absolute truth. Four types of people approach the Supreme Lord. But Krishna says, Sukhitano Arjuna. They have Sukriti. Why? Because Dhruva, he never approached any other demigod. He approached Narayan. Therefore, he has Sukriti, good fortune. So the Lord blessed him. You'll become king for 36,000 years. But instead of becoming happy, Dhruva began to cry. I was so foolish. I approached the Lord for material things, for material benefits. He said, in fact, I could have asked him for his pure devotional service, but I did not. So Dhruva is saying, I was looking on the ground for bits of broken glass, but I found a diamond. Such is my good fortune. So here is one lesson for us. If you want to do bhajan, then one should have no material desires. If you are doing chanting the name and you have material desires, you will be cheated. Why? Because Krishna will fulfill your material desires, but he won't promote you to his position of being his eternal loving servant, which is millions and millions of times greater. So Dhruva remained the king for 36,000 years. At the end of his time, death personified. Like death came for Dhruva, one day death definitely will come for us. Sometimes the Guru Maharaj says, one thing is completely 100% true. In this room, every single one of us must die. Like Yudhisthira Maharaj was asked, what is the most amazing thing? Yudhisthira Maharaj said, even though everyone sees everyone around them dying, no one will think they will die. So that time, death personified came for Dhruva. So Dhruva was not afraid. What did Dhruva do? Death paid dandavats at the feet of Dhruva. And Dhruva used death's head to step onto the Vaikuntha Viman, the airplane going back to the spiritual world. So that time when Dhruva was flying to the spiritual world, he asked, oh no, I cannot go yet. I have to take my mother. His mother is his wife, Bhattavadaksha Guru, or Shiksha Guru. That time the Vishnudhudas said, don't worry, Dhruva. And look in front. And Dhruva looked in front and his mother was going back to the spiritual world in front of Dhruva. So this is one lesson very powerful in bhajan. Don't worry for anything. My mother, my father, my cat, my dogs, my family members. No need to lament anything. Just do bhajan. And Krishna himself will take care of that thing.
So Dhruva went up to the, but he did not want to go to Vaikuntha. Where did Dhruva go? Because Dhruva had a slight tinge of material desire, he could not enter Vaikuntha Loka. Where did Sri Dhruva Maharaj go? Dhruva Maharaj went to Prapanchik Vaikuntha. And there he stays. We call it the pole star. The pole star is the middle of the universe, and all the other planets circumambulate like Dhruva Maharaj in the pole star. So from this lesson of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to learn how much we have to become free from material desires. How you'll have to take shelter of a bona fide Sadguru, and under the guidance of Guru, perform Ahoitiki, Apitya, Vyayama, some facility. You'll have to perform bhajan free from all material desires and uninterruptedly. Then you can attain the treasure of the lotus feet of Radha Krishna. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You heard about Dhruva. In the 6th month, he had darshan of Supreme Lord Narayan. How? Only by the grace of a pure devotee like Nara. So if your guru will be like saint, at least you should be very sincere, always chanting and remembering a high class of Bhagavat, then you can have a darshan. Very, very hard to take the darshan. Anyhow, by the mercy of his Gurudev Narada, he had the darshan of Narayana. And at once, Narayan did not give any chance to speak anything. And he told, I'm very happy. And he used to be the king, emperor of the whole universe for 36 years.
6,000.
And
36,000.
1,000 years. And at once
disappeared.
Now, by the darshan of Narayan, at once the purification of his heart was done. His heart became very purified. And then how he realized, oh, what I have did wrong, I'm very foolish. That a chintamani came, desire stone came, and what I did, but I don't. I took only broken glass, pieces of stone. Oh, I left that chintamani, desired stone, and picked up these powerful hands. And he began to weep loudly, but Narayan never came. If anyone has any desire worldly, and he will please Krishna, he will fulfill his desire, but he will not give pure devotion, no pure bhakti. And he will again come and go in rotation. But only by the mercy of Narada, what became of Dhruva? He went to Dhruva Loka, but not to Golok Vrindavan or Vaikuntha. This Dhruva Loka is seen from here. In this world, Hari Loka only. There are no gopis, no devotees to play with Krishna like Narayan. So he was deprived. So if you are doing bhakti to Krishna, don't want any desire, worldly desire. Sense gratification, only to please Krishna, and then you will have high class of love and affection. That by that you will go to Guru Vrindavan and serve Radha and Krishna conjugal, and you will be eternal. So, Dhruva bhakti is bhakti, but not pure. Karma Mishra Bhakti. amalgamated with offerative karma. So don't follow that. If are you doing pure bhakti even, but in the mid, if you are attached to any worldly thing, then you can be disturbed. Like Bharat Maharaj. Oh, can you tell Bharat Maharaj Bhakti?
Maharaj.
Go on. Where is your wife? Advocate. They left the place.
So, I've been ordered to speak on the life of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, he was the son of
Rishabhdev.
King Rishabhdev. Rishabhdev, he was the son of King Nadir.
Oh, what he saw, well, you saw that incarnation.
He was
Shaktyavesh Avatar.
King Rishabhdev was Shaktyavesh Avatar. And he had 100 sons. The eldest of the 100 sons was named Bharat Maharaj. So, before Maharaj Rishabhdev, who was Shaktyavesh Avatar, before he left his kingdom and went to perform austerities, then he gave instructions to his 100 sons. The gist of those instructions was that one who has accepted the human form of life, that they should not be so keen for sense gratification, which is available in the lower species of lives, like those who have bodies of hogs and dogs. But rather, one should utilize the human form of life for self-realization and never waste any time in sense gratification. He further informed his sons that they should all take shelter of their eldest brother, Bharat Maharaj. So, Bharat Maharaj, he was made emperor of the world. So, because Bharat Maharaj has been made emperor, today still we know the world as Bharatvarsh. So, Bharat Maharaj, he ruled the kingdom for some 50,000 years. And after 50,000 years, then he renounced the kingdom and he went to perform austerities. He went to perform austerities in a very, very sacred and holy place. There, absorbed in samadhi, he achieved the stage of Bhava Bhakti. There, in meditation, tears were flowing from his eyes.
His
father was Maharaj Rishabhdev.
And it may be his Siksha Guru Narad. And that is why very soon he achieved Bhava Avastha.
So, because having such an exalted spiritual master as his father, who himself is the incarnation of Godhead, Maharaj Rishabhdev, and also having the association of great saintly personalities like Srila Narada Muni. So when he went to perform his austerities, very quickly he achieved the stage of Bhav. The stage of Bhav is said to be the ray of the sunshine of praying. At that point, then...
What are the symptoms that he achieved Bhav?
So achieving the stage of Bhav, he was manifesting Asta Siddhika Bhav, eightfold symptoms of ecstasy. His hair...
First he will be detached from worldly things.
So the symptoms are Chantir, Avyaktika Labham,
and
Virakti Mansunyata. Asha Bandha Kanta Namdane Sada Ruchi.
No need of slope, you should define one.
So the first symptom, champion, is that he was very peaceful and tolerant. That in the face of so many disturbing elements, which normally one would be very, very disturbed, but Bharat Maharaj, having achieved the stage of Bhav, he was completely undisturbed by all material impediments. Abhyatakala Bhang, that he was feeling so much ecstasy in his meditation and service to the Lord, that he never wasted a time for a second for any material thing. So these symptoms that are manifest spontaneously by one who has achieved the stage of Bhav, these are lessons for us who are trying to enter into the path of Sadhan, that we should never waste a second in any material thing, that we should never waste time in useless discussions, but rather our whole time should be engaged in how we can be absorbed in hearing and chanting, listening to Harikatha and speaking the glories of the Lord. Chanti Abhyatakala Bham, Virakti, he was detached. That naturally he was detached. Due to his exalted state of realization and his absorption in the Lord, he had no more desire for material sense gratification, practically speaking. Mansunyata, that though he was a very exalted personality, his father is the incarnation of the personality of Godhead. He himself, he was the emperor of the world. Having the whole world as his kingdom, he left it and achieved such an exalted state of transcendental ecstasy, but he had no pride. He was very, very meek and humble. Chanti Abhyakta Kalabham Virati Mansunyata Ashabandha.
Now it is okay. Now come to point.
So, having all these qualities, Bharat Maharaj, absorbed in meditation, then one day he saw a deer was crossing the Gandaki River. And as the deer was crossing the river, then a lion came, and coming behind the deer, the lion started to chase the deer and growl very, very loudly. How did it growl? Very loud. And the deer became so horrified that the deer was jumping across the river, and the deer was pregnant. The baby dropped out of the womb of the deer, and the deer left her body. But at that time, Bharat Maharaj, though he was absorbed in his meditation, he was awoken by this very ferocious growl of the lion. And then he saw that this baby deer was laying there in the river, just by the side, and with very pitiful eyes, with nobody to give the baby deer any protection, but only Bharat Maharaj, and with eyes of sorrow, looking at Bharat Maharaj, and then because he's very compassionate, suddenly his heart melted. Then he got up from his meditation, and he went, and he picked up the deer, the baby deer. Now the baby deer had nobody to take care of her, but only Bharat. So Bharat Maharaj, he started to take care of the deer. When he would sit and perform his meditation, then the baby deer would come and sit on his lap. But now the baby deer started to grow little horns. And as he was absorbed in his meditation, the baby deer would come and nudge him with the little horn. And then he would pick up the baby deer and start to caress the baby deer and get some food for the baby deer. And in this way, his absorption in Bhagavan, it decreased, and his absorption in the baby deer increased. Just naturally, out of compassion, he was taking care of this baby deer. But now, due to this very precarious situation, his absorption, it became less and less and less.
They should not know that he has left high class of position, so many sons and children, very beautiful wives even, and so big emperor, and he left and he came. But now again that same tendency came in her.
So this is very important lesson, that Bharat Maharaj, though having a great kingdom, wives, subjects, all the wealth of the world, and he left it without any remorse. But now he had achieved such a high stage. He had gone through past the stage of Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, reached the stage of Bhav, feeling symptoms of ecstasy. And now Maya, the illusory energy, came in such a very, very inconspicuous way as through a little baby deer. It said, in like a needle, out like a plow. So just in a very, very small way, very innocent way, then very subtle way, then his attachment to Lord Hari, it started to dwindle, and his attachment to the material energy came in this very sneaky way in the form of a deer. So this is also some lesson for us, that we should be very, very careful, that if we want to be serious, to achieve the goal of human life, which is to achieve love of God, that though we may give up so many gross things, but still the material energy may come in so many subtle and tricky ways, and that we should be very careful to be one-pointed in our devotional service. Here, Bharat Maharaj, due to his compassion to the deer, now he was no more one-pointed, but now he became many-branched. His love and affection was no more just to the Lord, but now his love and affection was split towards the Lord and the deer. Previously, he had given up all his love and affection in the material world, and now it came back in this very sneaky way. So, in due course, this deer was raised by Bharat Maharaj. He had so much love and affection for the deer. And after some time, a herd of other deers, they came. And this baby deer, seeing these other deer running around, immediately left Bharat Maharaj and ran off with the herd of deer. Now, Bharat Maharaj, he had become so attached to this deer. Imagine, he was at the stage of love of God. And now, this had dwindled to the point that he had so much attachment to the deer. And instead of crying tears for the Lord Hari, now he was crying tears for the deer. He was literally weeping that, oh, where has this deer gone? Will this deer come back? Is the deer safe? And now he became so much anxiety-ridden for the deer, completely absorbed in thinking of this deer. Then in due course of time, Bharat Maharaj, he left his body. It's explained in Bhagavad Gita, Yam yam vapi smaram babam, chajat yante kale varam, tam tam evaiti konteya, saratat bhava bhavitaha. That whatever state of being one is absorbed in at the time of death, that absorption will take one into the next life, and through that, one will take an appropriate body. So because he was absorbed in this deer, then in his next life, he had to take the body of the deer. So now, in the body of a deer, because Bharat Maharaj, he had achieved such a high stage of Bhav, love of God, in its preliminary stage. So he was in the body of a deer, but still, by the arrangement of the Lord, he was able to remember his past life. So instead of going and playing with the other deer, remembering that, oh, in my past life, I had missed a chance, that I had undergone so much austerity, I had given up a kingdom, and practically I had achieved love of God, but because of bad association, what was his association? It wasn't drunkards, it wasn't this or that, it was just an innocent deer. So now, that deer stayed away from the association of other deers, and instead went to the hermitage, where sadhus were engaged in the sadhana and bhajan, and engaged in Harikatha. And by himself, this deer now stayed there, and only took association of sadhus, just engaged in sadhana.
I'm taking remnants of sadhu.
And in this situation, taking the foodstuffs of sadhus. It is stated, Bhakta Padaduli, Bhakta Padajal, Bhakta Bhuk Abhishesh, Tin Mahabal. That these three things, they have great potency. The dust, which are coming from the lotus feet of a sadhu. The water, which has washed the lotus feet of devotee, of advanced Vaishnava. And Bhakta Bhuk Abhishesh, Tin Mahabal, especially the Maha Maha Prasad, the food remnants which have come from the lotus mouth of a sadhu. that these have very great potency.
And what he was drinking? Water of Ganges, because he was on the bank of Ganges. And there Gandaki was meeting. So this place was very high class of.
So in this very sacred place.
And drinking always Ganges water. And what Ganges is?
Ganges is that which is emanating from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, from the spiritual world. So now, Bharat Maharaj, in the body of a deer, his existence became so purified. Hearing Harikatha, taking Mahaprasad remnants, taking Gangata, and in due course of time, then that deer left the body and then
standing in the Ganges and remembering our Supreme Lord, he left. Then, again, you. Parita Kothin. Oh, Prabhu, you can? What began after that? If you can, you can try. You remember all. Very good.
So, Sri Bharat Maharaj, after finish his dear birth, he became again human beings.
He came indeed as a Brahmin boy.
And he came as a Brahmin boy. His father tried at his level best to give him initiation and to utter the mantras. But Bharat Maharaj, at that time he came like dumb Bharat. He don't want to speak anything. He thought, due to speaking and seeing here and there, I became attached and I lose my so many times. So I don't want to talk anything, don't want to learn anything material of the material thing of this world. So he became like dumb. His father try at his level best to even to pronounce it him Om. Bharat Maharaj, Jara Bharat never uttered Om even also. But inside, he's always meditating and remembering Narayan Bhagavan. So his father was worried that now I became old. So when I passed away, who will take care of this boy? Though he had more sons, but when father and mother is there, then brothers will take care. When parents will live in this world, that boy, that other brothers will not take care properly. So due course, due to time, his parents passed away. And he ordered his sons, please take care of this, your younger brother. So they get married, except Bharat. And their wives, what they used to cook, the peel of potato, peel of other things, and they boil together and supply to Bharat like an animal. Bharat Maharaj became very happy eating this and became very healthy because he has no anxiety at all. So one day his father, our brothers, engage him to protect the paddy field, that birds and other animals should not graze the paddy field. So he was facing towards backside, not towards field. Birds are coming, deers are coming, they're grazing the field, he has no care at all.
He was always remembering.
He is always remembering God, so he has no time to take care of fields, anything. He forgets completely. He is so absorbed. So Bharat Maharaj is teaching us, if you want, the dumb Bharat is teaching us, that if you want to do bhajan, you have to be absorbed completely. Without absorption, we could not get proper perfection, not proper mercy from Guru and Vaishnavas. So he always too much absorbed in meditating and remembrance. So
one day,
one group of dacoits, they told the demigods, if we get so much wealth, during our loving, then we shall offer on human beings to you. So that day, they love so much oil, beyond their expectation, beyond their imagination. Then the third thing, oh, now we have to offer on human beings, which is promised in front of demigoddess Kali. So they are searching. Then they picked one boy and they kept him, but by chance he ran away from the trap. Now time has come, they are searching, where is that human being? They could not find, he ran away. Then they went out to search another human being. Then they saw, oh, this fellow is sitting quite healthy, very good. So they pulled him, he went with them, no problem. Then they feed him with chickpeas and molasses. He took full stomach. Then they put one red strap on his neck, no problem. Then the opponents, they want to chop his head and want to do 5 sacrifices in front of demigoddess. She is meditating and he is too much absorbed in his meditation. He has no fear at all, no anxiety, nothing. Then they put his neck and between 2 wood and they put one like latch. Then he could not go here and there. They chopped his head in the meantime. So they are ready. The meantime, when they are about to chop his head, meantime, demigods loud a tremendous sound. And demigods came out from his ditty and took the sword and chopped the demigod's head and put in
chopped
fire.
Means,
Chopped. And demigods came herself to Bharat Maharaj and
folded hand dead.
As far as he came and pulled her hand and latched the hook.
Unlatched
the hook and told, oh, you are cheating the world. So
I know you are very high class of Mahabhagavata.
High class of Mahabhagavata. So they don't know. They are doing offense. So please don't move like this, then none can understand you, then they will be depraved. They will come to do offense. So now Bharata Maharaj became free again, he went away from that place. And again, absorbed in meditation. In the meantime, the king of...
One day again,
the king of Sindhun Desh was going to meet with Kapil Dev to get some knowledge. At that time, there is no highway, so much motor, so much tech car, etc. So, no PA, no highway, no Jaguar car, Rolls car, etc. The king used to go by palanquin, carried by 4 carriers. So, he was going. The meantime, one carrier became sick. So, king told, anyhow, you can get another one. They saw that this Dambharat is sitting on place. They asked and dragging, he went and they engaged him to carry palanquin. But Bharat Maharaj is not an ordinary person. When he was walking with them, he could not keep his step as it is with them. Because he is looking towards, I should not step over an ant also. Because there is a living entity. God is also in their heart. If I step on them, they are stepping on the head of God. How possible? So the palanquin is rocking. The king talked, oh, what happened? Why palanquin is rocking now? The other carriers told, the new fellow could not walk properly. Then king told, oh, walk properly. The leader of the carriers told, oh, why not walking properly? Bharat Maharaj, come and quiet, no answer. Again, palanquin began to rock. Then told, oh, it seems to be a very lean and thin. You know who am I? I am king. you bound to carry out my order. Then Bharata Maharaj,
otherwise I will punish you.
Otherwise I shall punish you. So Bharata Maharaj's heart became melt. Oh. Then he told, oh king, who are king? And who is subject? Who is supposed to be punished? And who is accept to be punishment? Who is lean and thin? And who is healthy?
And who is king?
And who is king? So hearing this, the king jumped up, jumped down from the palanquin. So, who are you? Are you Kapil Dev? Are you Kabir Yantariksha? Who are you? You are wandering in this disguise? I want disguise. I want to know all these things. So I am going to Kapil Dev. Please give your identification. Bharata Maharaj, Dambharat told, have you heard ever Bharata Maharaj?
Name of
Bharata Maharaj. By whose name it became Bharatvarsha? As before it was Janavavarsha? Well, yes. He was in my dynasty. Well, yes, I was same Bharata Maharaj. And I lose my three births. He narrated the whole story how he became now Dambharat. Then he completely full fell on his lotus feet. Please excuse me. Then he instructed that Rahuban king, Rahu gamaitak tapasana jati na chandasana vajalagni surjai. King, by being austerity, you could not get so much. If you recite Veda mantra, if you worship demigod sun or fire, demigod fire,
will not gain so much. Atma Tattva is very rare in this world. Very rare. Anyone cannot attain it by fire sacrifice, going so many holy places, taking bath in holy rivers, or by worshipping Ganesh, Durga, sun and others. Even by Kali, Upasana, we cannot attain that high class of Atma Tattva. Only high class of devotee like Narada, Sukadeva Goswami, Kabi Habi and all others, like the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can have that high class of Atmagyan. What is that Atmagyan? He told to Bharat. Bharat told to Rahugan that this body is not myself. Don't have this idea that I am this material body. It is made of blood, what? Stone and all other things. If Atma is out from this body, then it will be rotten, or it will be given to fire, or it will be given in earth. So this is not soul, not myself. Soul is here in this body, and where he is, oh, you cannot locate. He is everywhere, but it is very finite. And also there, Supreme Lord is there. If anyone not knowing all these things, he will come and go in the endless chain of birth and death, suffering and sorrow. Though in youth you are thinking that we are very happy in sense gratification, but one day old is come and you will give up this body. And you cannot take anything, a farthing even, what you have collected. all will be here. So try to realize from in the association of high class of Mahabhagavat these things. Then also that king asked some questions and he answered very quickly and in a very good way. He told that I wanted to know that soul is some different from body. So if soul is different from body, then when we are suffering from any rogue or anything, then who is suffering? This body or soul? You are telling that body is different and it is a matter. It has no wish or
feeling,
and
knowing.
Then who is? And Atma is different from all these things. How it I cannot
understand.
He also told that there is a bucket on an on fire. In pot you should keep water. And in very hot water, if you give some rice, what will become?
Rice will be
cooked. Why? If it is cooked and it is, then why not? If Atma is here in this body and sufferings like fire is coming. So, I think that Jivatma is realizing these sufferings and sorrows. Then he told, this is not the fact. Attachment is the fact. If any soul is in this body but he detached from this body, he will not suffer. But anyone who is attached to this body, his relatives, that these are mine. And then if there is attachment, then he will feel suffering. He will realize some suffering. But Prahlad Narad, they don't suffer. Why? There are no attachment at all. So this attachment is very, very powerful. Try to give up all these attachments, but you cannot. When you will take help from your bona fide guru, qualified, then you can do. Otherwise, no. There is a story. Hear patiently and carefully. There was a family man. He has a beautiful young son. He wanted to get married to a very beautiful lady. And he selected one very beautiful girl. Now date was fixed that on very day the marriage will be done. The places were very near on the bank of a river, Ganges River. So he thought, why not we should go to marry by a very beautiful boat. In the evening we will sit in boat, making merry, sense gratification, taking
wine
and also gaja,
marijuana
and other things. And in the very morning we will reach there and then marriage will be. Then, so he managed all these things. A boat was managed. A very good prostitute who could have sing very beautiful tune. Also, it was managed. And some playing cards. You know, playing cards. Also, and some drinking bottles, so many. And everything
was there.
Also some meat and other things were to enjoy. They started their journey by that boat. Oh, so many, more than 100, all the relatives of that person. And in the night, they told to the
boatman,
I will give you also reward very soon. Oh, before 4 a.m., oh, you should take me to Calcutta, and there my son will be married. Oh, you should give me some ganja. Ganja means?
Marijuana.
And some
alcohol,
and other things. Very soon you will reach there. We are 8 in number. Myself, conductor.
Captain.
And my all 8s are very young and very
expert.
So they will sell it very well. Journey was started. And these 8 person with commander, they began to sell it very forcibly and very rapidly. In the meantime, it was night, became night. Whole day and night, they were making sense gratification, taking so many things. And at the time of 4, when the father of that
bridegroom
came out, and he saw that where we are. Perhaps we are very near and we have reached. But he saw that this is same
coconut tree.
And same budding heart from where he started. And he became upset. Oh, now it is 4. How we can reach there? Then this time of marriage will be gone.
Auspicious time will go over.
And then he chastised the captain of the boat. What you did? What you did? Oh, sir, we are not in fault. Whole night we have sailed.
Rowing.
But 5 were here. Oh, have you not taken your
anchor
from the water? Oh, he said, Oh, my God. I forget to take that
anchor.
And we were sailing whole night, but it was going round that anchor. And in the same place. So if you are chanting, remembering, doing all the activity, but your anchor means that
attachment
is in worldly things, and father, mother, wife, life, birth, they came from one job. Then what will be? You will not be liberated from this world. And you will not have the love and affection of God. So you try to be like that. Or take anchor. That detachment from world. You can be there. And you can maintain life of your attendants and yourself. But don't be attached. Like Pandavas, like other devotees, you can be inwardly that. No, but like Pandavas, you should try to be all there in family, but never attached. They are all attached to Krishna. To have a lesson from this story. Even a person in this world, who may be very wretched fellow, lusty fellow, so much of durachari. Durachari means? And bad
character,
loose
always,
character.
Always engaging in success.
And he may be very sinful. But even anyhow, by chance, he takes the name, remembers the name of Supreme Lord. Anyhow, he will be liberated from all kinds of sin. Whether you know or not, all we are bound to do in this world, some kinds of sins. You are walking through, you are driving car,
so many ants, so many animals. Oh, are crushed. You are taking breath. And so many infinity animals are going. And they are died. So these are all sins. And if not you have controlled your mind, then you can take meat, eggs of hogs, pigs, fishes, cows, and so many animals. These are all kinds of sin. So you will have to take its fruit. You must have some reaction. Anyone cannot save you, but that name of Supreme Lord can save you. In this stage also. And if he is continually doing, then he will be liberated from this world. And very soon he will have a high class of devotee association and he will be liberated. You know, Ajamil, you know, or Ajamil? What name? Ajamil or Ajamil?
Ajamil.
Why Ajamil? Aja means
goat.
Goat. She goat. Aja means she goat. Mil means like. He was like she goat. What goats are doing? Taking grass and always in sense gratification. Or giving so many children at a time and in a year 4-5 times they can give children. Only they are habited there. So at first Ajamil was like this in his career. First he was a brahmachari, very high class, and he was married to a very high class of aristocratic lady. But what became? Can you tell something? Ajamil? Oh, you should try. And if you cannot, then others will do. और तुम भी आए हमेशा जो भीतर में बैठा है अच्छा ये सुन लो इफ यू कैन नॉट डू देन यू कैन गिव टू कुंदरी
सो आज दे वाज वेरी
और डोंट बी वरी माय क्लास इज गोइंग टू बी
ओवर
सो सिट डाउन समथिंग एज यू सेड फॉर सो मेनी 2 hours or only 10 minutes.
So being a very high class Brahmin of good upbringing, very high spiritual understanding, he was very elevated. And one day he became distracted from his high meditation, not controlling.
Oh, listen from him and be ready for other day. You should give pundarik.
Yeah.
But be ready for other day.
In the story of Ajamil, his narration is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as Krishna Bhajan Prabhu, he started. In the beginning of his life, Ajamil was a very good and nice character Brahmana, following all the religious principles and being a very nice person in the society. He was also married, he had children, and he was looking after all his family duties, just like a noble person. One day, he happened to visit another village for some purpose. And on the way back, when he was coming through the forest,
He went to collect some oats for his father. Fire sacrifice in forest.
On the way back, in the forest, he noticed that a person, a man, he was indulged in illicit activities with a low-class woman. And seeing this episode in a glance, he saw that and then he resisted himself from looking at that scene because it's not proper for any sane person to look at such activities, in such acts of prostitution. So he resisted his mind, he pulled his mind from that scene and he started walking back towards his house. But as he was coming back towards his house, his mind was again and again remembering that scene. So he came back to his house, he tried his best, engaging his mind in so many household activities so that he can stop thinking of that bad scene. But eventually, because of not being able to forget that, he could not control his mind and he was forced by his mind to go and meet with that prostitute. And gradually, what happened? Meeting with that low-class lady, gradually he became attached with that lady. And he started pleasing her in so many ways. He started spending so much money for her, bringing so many articles from his house. In many ways, he started doing that. And gradually, the attachment or the relationship, it became so strong that he left his home and he started living with that prostitute. And then, later on in due course, he had one after another 10 children from this prostitute. Now, how to maintain that, such a big family? So, he had to do so many sinful activities in order to earn money or to maintain this people. Cheating, killing, all sorts of bad sinful activities which one can think of Ajamil did in his lifespan to maintain his family and especially please his wife. The 10th child of Ajamil was named as Narayan. So, at the time of death, when Ajamil was leaving his body, because he was very attached to this boy, for every little thing he used to call his boy, it's very natural for a father to be attached or affectionate towards the young boy. So, for when he was about to eat, he would call, "Oh, Narayan, come, let's eat." And now, "Come, Narayan, we'll play this." So, in many ways, he was always thinking of his son. So, when the time of death approached, Ajamil, when he was leaving his body, what happened? Because he was such a sinful person, then it is described that those who are sinful like Ajamil, then what happens? The messengers of Lord Yamaraj, they come and take the soul of that sinful person from this body. So three fearful Yamadutas, they came very ugly, very ferocious, fearsome. And Ajamil, when he saw these fearful three messengers of Yamaraj coming, Yamadutas, he became completely panicked and he shouted, screamed for his son, "Narayan!" And as he chanted this name, although he wasn't remembering the form of Lord Narayan, not thinking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was simply thinking about his son, his baby, Narayan. But because the name of the Lord is non-different from the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said in his Shastra, "Nam Nam Kali Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrar Pita Nyamita Smarani Nakala Eta Adushita Vipa Bhagavan Mamapi Guru Deva Mitrishmihadani Nam Raga." So, the name of the Lord is invested with all the powers, all the potencies of the Lord Himself. Whatever powers the Lord embodies are invested in the name. In certain respects, the holy name of the Lord is even more merciful and important for the living entity than the Lord Himself. So now what happened? Immediately when he called for his son, chanting Narayan, the messengers of Lord Vishnu, they appeared at that scene. Very effulgent, just like Narayan, their appearance, four-handed form and having conch shell, disc, club, and lotus in their hand, they forbidden the Yamadutas to take away the soul of Ajamil from his body. Then Yamadutas, they were very much amazed. They were astonished. Why? Because in whole of their life, they had never seen such effulgent personalities and powerful than them. Because they are so powerful, irrespective of any high class of person or low class of person, or any person who has attained any mystic perfections or whatever, Yamdutas are all powerful. They can take away the soul. But now, these four messengers of Lord Vishnu were obstructing them to do that. So, it was very difficult and amazing encounter for them. But how these four people, these four gentlemen who look so effulgent, they're so powerful, and they're not allowing us to take away the soul of Ajamila. And then a wonderful dialogue took place between the messengers of Yamadut and the messengers of Lord Vishnu. The Yamadutas, they were inquiring that who are you and why you're stopping us, why you're taking us from taking the soul of this person. And they said, Lord, the messengers of Lord Vishnu, that why you're taking this person? You're not supposed to even touch this person. And then Yamadutas, they inquired, this person is so sinful. He has always engaged himself in abominable activities, all kinds of illicit activities. He is fit to be punished in the hellish planets forever. So, on the orders of our master, we are here to take his soul away. Then, the Lord Vishnu's messengers, they said, no, this is unfair. You don't know the religious principles. You should go and inquire from your master that why you have been stopped to do that. By chanting the name of Narayan, Ajamil immediately has been completely eradicated from all the sinful activities that he had committed or one can commit. It is said, the name is so powerful, it can vanquish the reaction of so many sinful activities and as much a person cannot commit. So, Ajamil, by the power of chanting the holy name, is completely become purified. So you cannot touch him or take it to Yamlo. Then, the messengers of Yamduta, they went back. And then there's another wonderful dialogue which took place between Lord Yamraj himself and messengers of Lord Yamraj, Yamdutas. In the meantime, what happened here? The messengers of Lord Vishnu, Vishnu Dutas, after saving Ajamil from being taken to the hellish planets, they disappeared. Although Ajamil had a very eager desire to speak to them, he wanted to talk to them, that who are you? He had never seen these wonderful personalities. He had so many questions. Why they came, why they saved him, and how he can now guide, how he can develop his bhakti in his heart. But before he could utter any words, the Vishnudutas, they had disappeared. But from their conversation with Yamadutas, Ajamil could very well understand the glories of holy name. And now, also what happened? All his previous samskars, all his knowledge of Vedas and Shastras as a Brahman, which he has studied, which he has gained in his beginning of life, all was now revealed to him once again. And feeling so strong, directly guided by the associates of Lord Vishnu, Ajamil now, when he came back to his external consciousness, immediately he left his house, family, he gave up all his belongings there and then, and he went to Haridwar. And in Haridwar, he started chanting the name of Lord Narayan, and one after another, every day, increasing his chanting, increasing his absorption, and meditating on that wonderful instructions which he received from the messengers of Lord Vishnu, he perfected himself, he perfected his bhajan. At an appropriate time, when his bhajan matured, the four young messengers of Lord Vishnu, Vishnu Dutas, they appeared again in front of him with a wonderful golden airplane. And now they were here to take Ajamil to the place, to the abode of Lord Narayan. So this is the power, the power of the holy name. Now, in the dialogue with Lord Yamraj and Yamdutas, when they came to Lord Yamraj and they were now reporting the matter that, oh, Master, this is so strange. All this time, we have been thinking that you are the Supreme Person. There is no one beyond you. You control everyone. And on your orders, we have been every time going and taking the souls of all kinds of sinful people. But today, we were stopped. So we want to know, is there anyone who is higher to you? Or there is any other laws which guide all these principles? Please tell us. Then Lord Jamraj told them that yes, actually Lord Jamraj is one of the 12 Mahajans who actually is very well fully conversant with the Tattva Gyan or the philosophy of Absolute Truth. So he now told them, he revealed them, actually, I am a servant of the Supreme Master, Lord Narayan himself. And from now onwards, you should know that any person who even once chants the name of the Lord, or he is in any way engaging himself in the process of pure devotional service, or if he is wearing the neck beads or chanting Hare Krishna mantra, then you should not go and touch those people. You should stay far away from them. Why? Because these people are now in direct control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Neither me nor the material laws can control them. The Supreme Lord Himself takes care of them. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, Yoga Kshemam Bhavami. One who surrenders unto me, in the famous verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami Mahasucha. That if one takes complete exclusive surrender unto me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what happens? I take away all the reactions. I burn the reactions of all the sinful activities of that person. And he is awarded with the gift of pure bhakti. So that is why you shall never go near or in any close proximity of those people who are engaging themselves in the process of pure bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti. Hare
Krishna. Also, Jam Maharaj told, if anyone has done once pranam to Narayan or Supreme Lord, if he is taking Tulsi, Kanthi, Mala, taking, putting Tila, he may be any kinds of very wretched person, lusty and
sinner.
Very
sinner.
Sinner. But if he is chanting Narayan, he will be liberated. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinatvam Nama Namina Krishna is Supreme Lord. He is so powerful that in a moment he can destroy whole universe and again he can
create.
He has so much opulence, very powerful, very merciful. He has invested all his power in name. That name are very powerful and merciful even than Krishna. So, if anyone chanting these names, then with all kinds of sin will be gone. He will be purified. But if anyone thinking that names are very powerful, they can purify, again and again they are doing sinful acts, then it will be like offense and our name will not take his sins. So we should not do like that. So if anyone has done one pranam to Krishna or his incarnations, utterly following Ekadashi even in pure way, Janmashtami, Ram Navami, he has taken bath in Ganga, Jamuna. He is hearing Hari Katha, or he has heard. Don't go to them. Be far away. He is out of my control, he is direct control of his Lord. So even he again becomes a Durachari, lusty and
loose character.
Loose character. Oh, I can be controlled, or he is in control of his Prabhu. Prabhu will punish or he will give up.
Excuse.
So, I do pranam to the Lord.
and you should be always careful. So you should also try to follow these things. Hare Nam. Hare Nam. Hare Nam. Hare Nam. Kalau Nasti. Of that. For Kaljugi ji, for us, there is no remedy except Hare Nam. Hare Nam. Go, Prima. Hare
Krishna. And they do some very slight religious activities, but are they going to get the same result as Ajamil, or what's the difference between
if
them and
they are doing so, but not making any offenses in the lotus feet of Vaishnavas, then it will be Namabhas. Otherwise, it may be very big offense. Especially at the time of death, if he had done so. This is a special case at the time of provision.
Hare Krishna.
Besides the place and the amount of March 2002 and evening of Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Hare Krishna.